What are you doing?
He's supposed to expand upwards.
Neat!
Hello and welcome to Isn't It Neat, a podcast where we talk about things we think are neat. My name is Erin and I'm joined by my sisters Helen.
Hello!
And Caitlin.
Hi.
This week we're going to talk all about the beach and beach culture.
See, I knew what we were talking about, but as you were saying, we're going to talk about the beach. I was like, bees?
Bees!
They got very excited and they went, oh yeah. We just spoke about this.
Beach. Our job is beach today.
Yes.
So we have quite an extensive beach culture here in Australia because 85% of the population live on the coast.
Yep. That's where the water is.
Yeah, because it's
nothing in the middle.
Yeah, it's all desert in the middle. It's not really.
There's stuff in the middle, but it's a bit hard because you can't cool down as good. Or you're very cold because nighttime.
And there's a tree and
a rock.
Yeah, some rock. A big rock.
Big rock.
Little rock.
I would like to go to Uluru. I think, considering how much I was talking about how much I like rocks last week,
Priscilla, maybe the I'd queen like of Uluru.
yeah.
Like you can't climb it anymore though.
Yeah.
No, because there's too much damage and tourists being and silly buggers.
It is an indigenous heritage site. It's important to them. Yeah. So, but I still like to look at it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the beach. So part of our beach culture, I was reading that like in like the early 1900s, it was like illegal to bathe during the day.
Because of sunburn?
I don't know. Like weird colonial shit.
Weird religious thing or a
I don't know. Maybe too many people were like getting injured or eaten by sharks or something. And they're like, you know what, this beach thing, beaches are dangerous. Like beaches are dangerous. And then some guy was like, I should be able to go for a swim during the day. I should be able to bathe. And so I started the first surf life-saving club at Bondi.
Yeah, it was illegal to swim at Bondi during daylight hours. Just Bondi. Just Bondi? Beach.
Okay.
Yeah. Because swimming at night is so much safer.
Yeah. So much safer.
You don't get sunburned, but like and everything is well,
indecent. So I read further, it's an indecency law. So they're like, it's indecent to be dressed fully in bathers from wrist to ankle and go in the daylight.
Old bathing suits.
Think
were, like,
of the children.
She wore an itty bitty teeny weeny yellow bikini. And it's like a full like suit.
Yeah, but ankles.
Ankles. Oh, remember like in Chitty Chitty tight. Bang Bang and they had those striped bathers and going to the beach and their big old tent to change in.
Yeah, the little changing tents. Yeah.
In the olden days. These days everyone's like, shower out in the car park. Yeah.
What was your name? Surf Life Saving Club. So that's something that's really big here. So swim between the flags and all that. And there's like a whole ass TV show called Bondi Rescue. Which I think has probably been exported.
Been exported. There's too many pretty people running around.
Oh, the handsome lifesavers saving.
Yeah,
they're attractive. Giving them mouth to mouth.
Yeah. I need the mouth to mouth. Yeah. But it's something that we learned from a very, very early age. Yeah.
I genuinely don't recall when I found out. Like I learned about the swing between the flags thing. I thought that that was a global rule that swing between the flags. Yeah. And when I think I was like 16 or 17 where I met like an international student who was like, why are there flags on the beach? I was like,
swim between them.
Because you're dumb if you sleep out, swim outside the flags. And they were like, why? And I was like, because you'll die, rips and such.
Yeah, tides and sharks
Although
and the water.
They're not on every beach because there has to be a surf life saving club there and that has to actually be manned. And so
the flags
only
indicate
like a handful of occasions that I actually remember going to the beach and actually having flags there. Yeah. And sometimes they're quite narrow and it's like
because it's
people to
the flags are indicating that the lifesavers are on duty and they are watching this section. Not that this is the safest section of the beach. It's that they are on duty here and they've and that is the safest section for them to be on duty for.
Yeah,
well, that's where you put all the
they wouldn't
kids.
Put it where a rip is.
Yeah, but we don't. Yeah, we don't. We when we were little, we didn't go into like the beach. We went into like the sheltered coves.
Yeah,
and things like that.
And
we
went on lifesavers.
Mm-hmm. And we went on beach holidays that were like more remote.
Yeah, like so there's like the 17 people on the in beach. This town. Yeah. They're not going to have a lifesaver.
We'd walk up the cliffs and down there till we found a little secret sheltered spot where we, you know, no one else was there so we could play.
That was excellent. I loved climbing on the rocks.
Yeah, cool rocks. Sandstone usually up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we all got swimming lessons as kids. And I kind of, I was looking it up. It took me a while to find the answer. I'm like, were swimming lessons compulsory? Like, are swimming lessons compulsory? No, they're actually not, but they're so part of our culture that you're weird if you don't do swimming lessons. Like, and there were the odd kids that for, like, maybe for medical reasons or cultural reasons stayed at school while we went swimming.
But, yeah, it's baked into your school curriculum, like the primary school years, I think from, like, year two onwards.
Remember, there is maybe 2 weeks. Earlier than that.
I don't remember earlier than that.
To year seven.
I remember in primary school walking across the oval to the pool with our bags and stuff.
Yeah, because we had lines. A pool.
Yeah, the pool wasn't there when I was in primary school.
We used to get bus.
We had to go to the bus. Yeah.
2 or 3
We got bus when we went to high school because we went to a different pool. But
yeah. But like, it was a whole thing because I think it was like it was like a short window of time and we would go on the bus for like multiple days, whether it's like
every
one
day,
day a week
it would either be morning or afternoon session. Yeah. And you'd go every day for like 2 weeks.
Mm.
And it would be this rigmarole. So you'd bring your bathers and your towel. And I'd normally wear them to school, I think.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to bring a change of clothes. Like, so you'd wear your bathers underneath your school uniform. And then you get on the bus and you'd go. And then we'd go in the change room and you had to like take off your clothes and leave your bag, like your school bag and stuff, in the change room, and then you'd do your lesson, and then afterwards you'd come and you'd get changed into your change of clothes and then back on the bus and like wrap your wet clothes in your towel and put it in a plastic bag in your school bag for the rest of the day and then walk home. And then you'd have to remember to get it washed so that all that washed it rinsed and dried so that the next day you could wear them again.
I remember I got a fancy towel bag where my towel and a bag.
We were rich when you were little, so like you got a lot of things. That
it was also
been
like
so
it was
useful.
The kid cheap stuff. So was it? Was
yeah, but again,
stuff.
We were rich when you were little.
Yeah,
but also things were cheaper. The whole like fast
they were much
fashion
cheaper,
got faster.
Yeah.
I do remember carrying a plastic bag though across the primary school, and
I hated swimming lessons.
I liked
swimming. I love swimming lessons.
We didn't have to go to school. We were going swimming. It was fun.
Yeah, I progressed through swimming really quickly as a little'un. And, like, I distinctly remember I must have been 6 or 7, so I don't think we had swimming lessons, or if we did, it was just paddling in the shallow end and we didn't actually go in the water proper.
Yeah.
I remember Christmas. The year before I went into year two, we went out to the Bruce Whites and they had a pool. And I couldn't swim at that point. I could only paddle and I wasn't allowed in without floaties. And I distinctly remember the night before the Christmas gathering, lying on my bed and practicing how I would swim so that when I got in the water, all the cousins would be so impressed and I could retire my floaties and it was going to be the greatest day ever. And then I don't think I even went to the pool that day.
It just wasn't,
But
so I think that pool was all deep. It was above
ground
pool,
yeah.
Whereas the other cousins' pool had the little step. And
yeah, and you
little,
could paddle on the step and play in the
spa. There was a little spa as well that you could sit in. So the little kids did that.
But I remember that. And then I remember going to swimming lessons because they're in the first half of the year because it's hot. And being able to do like breaststroke and butterfly, which I knew about because you had to do them. So I was all like,
we
this
also
is
did
be
private swimming lessons in the summer holidays for a little while because I have this memory of being really small. And it was summertime and going and in my little group, my class was the boy that lived up the road who was my age.
Yes.
And I remember the instructor, like, we're standing in the pool. So it must have been like only a foot quite deep. Yeah. So it was like kind of waist level on me as like a, you know, 3 or 4 year old.
Yeah.
Yeah, a tiny, a 5 year old or something. And we were like in a circle holding hands with the instructor. And she's like, on the count of three, we're all going to duck our heads under and then come back up. And like we had our eyes closed or something. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. And they'll never know because their eyes are closed.
Because you didn't understand what
Yeah, and I remember someone else didn't. It might have been my friend or it might have been just someone else. I remember looking at them and being like, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee, they'll never know. And then, like, yeah. they came back up and the instructor's like, you didn't go under. And I was like, what?
How did you?
Because you weren't wet.
I wasn't wet. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's really obvious, yeah, that, yeah, my brain wasn't fully developed.
I love how your devious plots when you were a little kid are like they're so devious and so easy to ruin. Whereas my devious plots are like I'm just gonna quietly learn how to do this by myself.
Yeah.
And then everyone's gonna be so impressed and then I just forget about it before I even make it happen.
Yeah. And I do remember also like going like having swimming lessons at school and also private swimming lessons in the school holidays, like in summertime.
I don't remember the private ones until I was older because I got so there's how many levels of swimming lessons were there, like 10?
Oh, I was looking at them. Okay, so there's stage 1 to 9, which is beginner, water discovery, preliminary, water awareness, water sense, junior, intermediate, water wise, senior. And then once you get into stage 10, you're in your survival strand.
Yes.
Junior swim and survive, senior swim and survive. And then you get 13 to 16 is the bronze rescue.
Yes.
And that's how you get your bronze medallion.
Yeah, so I have my bronze medallion. I went for my silver and that was when I must have been like 15. It was the last year that swimming lessons were going to happen through school. And
probably about 12 or 13.
Oh, maybe.
Because I think it's year 7. Because
yeah,
it was,
year 7
we went in high school because our high school started at year 7 instead of year 8. And so we had that 1 year.
Yeah,
last I feel year. Like,
just year 7 was when we went on the bus somewhere.
I had very grown up remembrances of it, so that's why I think I was older, but I didn't do it privately.
Maybe you went
it was
in
through
sport
school.
Like maybe there was
we
an
did
option.
Have some water we did have water carnivals where we went swimming at pools
yeah so I remember going at high school on the bus to go to the swimming pool and that, but I remember distinctly I stopped growing at 12, so I could have been 12 or 13 because I was in my grown-up swimmers, my adult swimmers, and feeling very uncomfortable because everyone else is wearing very much more fun kid swimmers and doing the bronze and the silver and be like, you had to take turns like doing a recovery, like getting them out of the pool, like turning their head up in the water so they're not drowning actively and all of that. And my task was to be the unconscious body. And so I like was in the pool being really floppy and the instructor's trying to explain how to like prop people up in the recovery position. And because I'm so floppy, we found out later it's because my joints don't work properly.
Yeah.
I didn't matter how many recovery you did, I was flopping everywhere and I went full limp because they asked me to go full limp.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I do that too. I love that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, because otherwise, like when you do your, what's it called? Your first aid.
Yeah, you got to do
people like put themselves in the recovery position. It's like, no, it's not going to be that like that in real life. This person's unconscious. Like,
yeah, so I was,
even a small person is heavy.
Yeah, and like they're a sack of potatoes when like they're not actively helping or resisting.
Yeah.
And like, so the instructor would be like, okay, you have to go full limp and be ready for the extra floppy. And I was like, oh, I can go floppy, and I did. And the instructor was like, you're actively flopping over now. And I'm like, I'm actively not. I'm not using any of my muscles right now.
Yeah.
You try
everything
it.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. And
they're not doing it right.
Yeah. But they got me in it. They got me because they worked out that you prop things in a way that there is no way to slip. So like I had an elbow sort of shoved in a certain like direction. And I think the instructor was surprised where my shoulder went. Looking back on it now, I genuinely think they just went, oh, shit, this body is weird and I'm not equipped to deal with this, so I'm going to pretend it's not happening. But, I got that far. But that was my ears get blocked really easily in the water. And when I was little, it wasn't as bad because everyone's ears got blocked and it was fine. But I don't think my sinuses fully ascended or something because I still get blocked ears just getting them wet and it's instant ear infection. So I can't put my head under the water without causing myself strife, and because I got tiny little ears, I can't put the things that are supposed to keep water out of your ears in there, yeah, like they won't stay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just don't see
some blue tack.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I got to level 5 in all of my years of swimming lessons. I got to level 5, which, and I remember the last year when I was in high school, and I remember the particular friends I had in year 7, they were where they were up at the like bronze rescue stuff. So they had to bring a whole set of clothes, like tracky pants,
yeah,
and jumpers
you went in
and
the
stuff.
Water fully
and they
clothed.
Go in the water fully clothed and do the rescuing that way. And I was like nowhere near that level, and just being with like the little kids and still like, so look, it's stage 5 is water sense. You do freestyle, swim 25 meters, correct technique. Mm-hmm. Backstroke, swim 15 meters, correct technique. Survival backstroke, swim 15 meters, symmetrical leg action. Breaststroke, swim 15 meters, symmetrical leg action. Demonstrate a surface dive, shoulder deep, recover an object. I could do that. That was the thing I could do. And water safety sequence. So you step in, scull for 60 seconds using a combination of survival sculling and horizontal sculling, keeping the face above water, grasp a flotation aid thrown in for support, and swim for 60 seconds and then be pulled to safety by a partner.
Basically teaching you in an emergency, you've fallen in the water, how to deal with it.
Yeah, how to like float and like get help and stuff. And like I just had a really horrible time at swimming lessons, and the whole thing. Like I remember even the private ones we went in the summer, I'd be like, Mum, I really don't want to go. I don't like it. And like I have this memory of being in the diving pool, so the deep pool, and having to – that was probably our what's it called, backstroke? Freestyle, probably freestyle actually, and having to go the length of the pool and getting our instructions and – the like instructor saying go, and so I start swimming and I'm like, okay, I need to just make it to the other end of the pool, and we're doing this stroke, and then gradually becoming aware, because I was on the edge of the pool, like I was on the edge rather than in the middle, like there was a whole row of us going, and gradually becoming aware that the instructor was like walking beside me, like out of the pool, like on the edge, just screaming at me. And because I couldn't hear anything because there's all this water in my ears, and I'm just focused on like what my instructions
doing
were.
Because
I always follow instructions. I always like do what I'm told. And I remember like stopping and looking at it, being like, am I doing the wrong thing? And like, did I misunderstand my instructions or something? And looking at it, and then like she just kept screaming at me, and I just could not. Like the combination of the water in my ears, and I was so confused. And then, and she's screaming at me that I'd stopped. She's like, no, you're not supposed to stop. Like, I think she might have been giving me like technique things, but because I couldn't hear her and because she was like yelling so loud, I was like, I'm doing it wrong. That's like bad. And that's why I stopped. And then, so that was the wrong thing. And so she's telling me to keep going. And I was just like, and I'm just making it to the other end. And she just went, oh, well. And then we moved on. And I was kind of like, what just happened? I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And then I like failed again. Like you have to pass to go to the next level. And that's what a lot of my experience was like. And I don't know, because I look at it and I'm like, I should have been able to do those things, like those, that like correct technique and stuff. Like I'm a mover. Like I should be able to, and I just remember just being totally mystified. Like at the end of swimming lessons, even all the way through primary school. So on the last day, it would only be like a short lesson, and then you'd get handed your little report card, which told you if you'd passed and failed.
Yeah.
And then you had to put that with your bag, and then we'd make a big whirlpool in the kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Like everyone would get in and you'd make a big whirlpool, and that was really fun.
Yeah.
And I just remember like being like, I'm going to pass this time. I did everything and I was told and it was so good and I was really good. And then getting my report kind of being like, fail, like big red cross, and be like, but why? Like I never understood why I was failing.
And it's so likely it just something became, like you needed to be able to do X meters unbroken.
Yeah.
And because they're screaming at you and you don't, you're not being given reasonable feedback that you can follow.
Or maybe they told me but I didn't understand. I just never understood. So it seemed really arbitrary. It just seemed like they were picking on me And I went to swimming. Mm. And I suppose because I had such bad experiences, the next year would be like, here we go again. I really, really want to pass because I hate being with the little kids. And I was tall as well, and I was always really self-conscious. I always felt big and ungainly. Like even just with my peers, I was like big and awkward. And so being with even smaller kids made me feel even more big and awkward. And all my friends being up like way higher, like different grades and stuff, and I'm like with the little kids. And that probably didn't help my confidence and my like attitude as well as I was trying to learn stuff, because it's like there might not be anything I can do. I'm trying my best and I just can't pass.
Yeah, you're just not good at swimming maybe. But you've got enough capability that in a circumstance where you are certainly in the water, you can probably right yourself and at least sustain yourself until help arrives, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which is the most important thing.
I'm bigger and stronger, and I could I reckon if I went back, like if I went to do swimming lessons, you'd probably like throw me into like survival strand or even just like the bronze rescue, like starting at stage 13. Like I'd probably like I might need a little bit of practice to like get my like fitness up
a little bit. It's more endurance at that level.
Yeah, like I probably have a better understanding of my body and I'd probably be able to be like, what do I need to do? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to change? Yeah. Like I'd probably be able to actually learn. So I don't know if it's just like the style of the way that things were taught didn't work for me as the way that I learnt or if they were just shit.
I think it's a style thing as well, because I unlocked a sense of memory when you were describing all of that and the deep pool. I remember watching Helen do swimming lessons in the public pool, which would have been on the school holidays because we weren't in the same – like so when Helen did pre-primary, she and I were in the same school, but I think it was year 5 and year 6 – in the primary school, we were both there, and then I was in the high school, and then I was in the senior school. So we weren't in the same school. We couldn't have had swimming lessons together. But I remember being at the pool just like, you know, fucking around in the water, and Helen having swimming lessons.
Yeah, I remember that too.
And like the really, because the public pool that was built that Helen got her lessons at.
Bayswater Waves?
No, this is the public pool that was built.
And our public pool here.
Our public pool. And it had like 5 times the amount of chlorine than all the other public pools we'd ever been bused to. And I hated it because my eyes would immediately like puff up and be like dry and red like the second you walk in the door, but you're like hit in the face with the chlorine smell and then the hot chip smell.
The pool, the like
chlorine warm, and hot chips.
warm, humid, hot air. Chlorine, hot chips.
That's our childhood. Yeah. and there would be the baby instructors with the little kids, and they would be like calmly telling everyone what the instructions are and then waiting for the kid to come back out of the water and then like giving them instructions. And then there would be like the people who are actually training for something in the lane pools and like having that person walk next to just screaming. And I always was like, how are they going to understand what that screaming means? Is it just to make
loud.
The instructor feel
in the
like
indoor
better?
Pools? It's loud.
Yeah,
it's
really
There's a
loud.
Lot of noise, echoey.
And like that squeaking noise. That's not quite the squeaking on a basketball court squeak. It's the
pool,
floor is
wet
pool.
Yeah,
sense memories.
Yeah, sense memories all coming back.
I don't actually remember interacting, aside from the time that the instructor got mad at me because I went full floppy, with the instructors at all. Like they would announce to the class what we would be doing. A couple of kids would go, and then I would just like quietly do my thing and get to the other side. I possibly have passed a lot of the swim sessions because the instructors just didn't notice, and they're like, "Who's this person? Who knows? They pass, whatever."
Because I would have passed because I was that kind of kid, and I wouldn't have ever asked questions. I just would have been like, "I think this is what I was told to do, so I'm just going to do it."
Yeah.
And you can't really copy, because when you're kind of in the pool, you can't really see what other kids are doing.
Yeah,
kind of a little bit.
Yeah, I did the same thing I did with you. Like, you would get in trouble for something, or you get feedback for something, and they would tell you, like, oh yeah, don't do this. But like, they won't tell you the whole thing. They're just like, at the end, like, this piece, don't do it. And I would like log that somewhere in my little head. So yeah. When like the kids went before me and they were doing like backstroke wrong, they would get corrected and I would be like, okay, that's the thing not to do. So like somehow work it out. But I like
would have been daydreaming and not paying attention.
Yeah, I floated like, through I all of my good. Sports. Like just I run like maybe a baby giraffe. I barely function as a standing human. And I floated through sports. So I
But somehow like, you were the sporty one. Yeah. The one. I think maybe compared to us, you were like super sporty.
But that was so weird because I was not sporty. I just I
but
don't
you always did well.
Like, you always did well in sport.
And I don't understand how I did well in sport other than like either. People were like, oh, because like in netball, I was the goalkeeper because I was tall, which is excellent for me because I didn't have to run. I just had to stand there. And because I was tall, just like put my hand out. Yeah. And if I missed the ball, I would be like, oh, well. And everyone would be like, you gave it your best shot. And I was like, I really didn't. Like I put no effort into that. And like I just, like I said, I floated through all sports. I wasn't good at
it. Just worked for you somehow.
Yeah. And like no one ever noticed that I run like a baby giraffe. Like no one ever said anything about it. And I don't
Whereas
understand
Whereas me
that.
Running like a baby giraffe and being like literally halfway down the field while everyone else has finished the race and being mortified at that. And then the teachers at the end being like, but you've got such long legs. You should be able to run real good. And me just taking that as like a moral failing of mine. Like I should
possible
be able to do
because,
this,
like,
but I can't.
All of my teachers were your teachers or they were next to your teachers. So they maybe had you and, like, saw how they affected you by making unhelpful idle commentary.
Helen, I want to know, Helen, what level did swimming lessons did you get up to? Do you remember?
3 or 4.
Really? Oh, you were even worse than me.
I didn't open my eyes underwater so they wouldn't let me
go
up.
Yes. I had a near-death experience and it scarred her forever.
Oh, yeah, I just – and I have this thing around my eyes. I can't put anything near them and just having them open underwater was like, no, I can't do that.
Helen is the stubbornest.
Yes.
Stubbornest.
Helen's most the most stubborn. I am the loudest stubborn.
And she's Aaron's quiet stubborn.
The quiet passive.
Yeah, very passive. I do what I'm told. I'm doing what I'm told. Yeah. Helen's like just quietly just doesn't do it. Just refuse. Yeah. Can't make her do it.
Whereas I go, there's injustice in this system and here's a 10-point presentation about why.
Yeah. So Helen did have a bad experience when we were visiting friends with their very it was a grown-up kind of pool. It was very landscape.
It was deep pool.
It was quite
they
deep.
They had a jetty like on this pool.
Jelly bean shaped. And had plants all around. So visibility wasn't really good if you weren't, like, in the pool, like if you were outside the pool like Mum was. And
Mum had gone into the house.
Yeah, she was in the house. That's why it was so dramatic.
In trouble, and we were on the other half of the jelly bean, where it's only, like, a little narrow.
We were playing mermaids, so we were under the water as well.
We
so
had
we didn't even know what had happened till after the fact.
Yeah. Mum luckily noticed Helen was really strong and she was quiet. That's the danger is that you think if someone's drowning they're going to be splashing and yelling and screaming, but
no,
she just went under
the water. Yeah.
And it's quiet. Because
you can't. You're underwater.
And you don't have any breath yet.
And I was, Mum was talking how my hands were up. It was like, because I would have been reaching up going, Mom!
Yep. And that's exactly what we're taught is that if you're on the beach and there's a surf lifesavers there or anyone knows. So if you see someone out swimming and they've got their arm in the air, they're in trouble.
Yeah, so the signal is that's why the safety thing is you learn how to float first and you float and you get your arm in the air and you wave and that's stage one is like save yourself by like floating.
I wasn't good at floating either.
Yes, but you were still very early in your swimming. I don't think you had even had like past.
No, I never really learned
lessons.
How to float properly. Oh, it was always there. Still can't float. I could do the starfish facing down, but I couldn't do it facing back.
It's doing like the dead body.
Yeah.
I was like, I could float when I'm facing down, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. I was like, why do I keep? Because they tell you just float there, but you don't.
It's quite a lot
sink.
Of work to actually float on your back.
It is.
Like,
it is.
And
like,
you've
got
to.
It's you got
to
use
like,
your core muscles,
balance.
But they tell you you're supposed to be floating, so you shouldn't have to be.
So Helen did full relaxed in the pool, and then couldn't work out why floating doesn't work. I have to push my hips upwards, and that balances me out.
Yeah, it's like so my butt kept sinking closing. And my legs kept sinking. That's like,
yeah. Oh yeah, your legs, yeah, your legs can drop down a bit. It's your hips that you have to kind of lift up.
It's all about the trunk. Get the hips up and balance off your head. But anyway, the point is, the first level of safety is like you're in trouble. Float on your back, wave your arms. Someone will either alert the lifesavers or, like, hopefully you're with friends who can, like, paddle out to you or something. Yeah. The second level is if you see someone who's, like, face down in the water and they're not moving, that's an emergency. They're not going to let you know about it. And that's what the lifesavers are actively looking for. They're looking for the arms, but they're looking for the person who doesn't look like they're swimming well.
Yeah, because if you're splashing around, you might just be having fun. So if you're splashing around and screaming, that's how people like go
that's
and
how
play
you play
time at the beach.
You splash each other and scream.
Yeah,
yeah. It's when you like suddenly go quiet or there's like a still moment where they're like, "Oh shit!" Like, let's go. And I got to the point where like because when you're panicking, so like you're drowning, you're panicking, you're clawing onto the person. The part of the lifesaver stuff is learning to like get to the person without having them claw it, which is why if you watch the Bondi Beach show, they actually like push the little floaty boards in front of the lifesaver. So like the drowning person
panic
encounters
and grab onto
the board first and grabs the board because you can – a panicking person can pull you down really quickly, whereas someone who's like, I'm panicking but I'm trying really hard not to like flail can be flipped over and floated. But yes, it's very important to do the appropriate thing where you can, and in the midst of panic, try to remember don't strangle yourself around someone's neck. Like,
they're not going to help you.
So that we would go to the beach, and we got dunked once, and I'd grabbed onto Helen, knowing her water stuff, and I held her whilst we got dunked. Because I was like, as long as I've got her, I can get her out of the water. Whereas if she gets dunked and pulled away, I have no chance of finding her because she's so little.
Yes, go on.
And I pulled her up and I stood out of the water. Like, we weren't even like kneeling like we were when we were playing. And I was fully out of the water. The water was below my hips. And Helen is like full spider monkey strangling me and screaming.
Because you lifted me up and I'm like. It's like, she's got me.
Yeah. And you were so mad at me for holding you whilst we got dunked because you were like, you drowned me. And I was like, I saved you.
And I think
I remember walking back because the swell was getting beat. kind of too big for me one time, and I tried to walk back to the shore because I was like, it's too big for me, I want to go back, and a wave came up and broke on top of me, and I tried to jump over it, but it just swept me straight onto the beach, and it salt water all up my nose.
It's very disorienting and scary.
And mom tells me that she turned around and I'd vanished in the water.
Because the water comes in and boom, your tiny little blonde thing's gone. Like, what are you
going to
do?
It doesn't even need to be a rip, just the like wave pulling back. It's this struggle. And there is a skill to like water entry and exit that you kind of need to learn, which I never learned. I know I struggle in and I struggle out. You can I can figure it out and I can deal. But I never go in when it's really like I don't surf. I have no desire to surf, to be in the water when it's that rough, like rough enough even for, and even like when it's like for shit surfing, like people go down and they're like, oh, the waves are a bit shit. And I'm like, they're too much for me.
There's a perfect level of swell where you can go out and you can stand
float
and on
around,
the low of the
and
swell,
you sort of
the water's
slope
below
over
your hips.
The swells and it's nice.
Yeah, and you're like body surfing with the swell. So the water goes, when it's out, it's like below your hips, and then the swell comes in and it doesn't break at the point that you're at. It just lifts you up and carries you in a little way, and then you swim out a bit more, and then you catch the next swell in, and it's perfect. Like, that's it's so calming and relaxing. But the point is, your feet touch the ground between swells, and that means you're safe. As soon as you can't quite touch the ground,
you got to rely on your swimming skills.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, can't feel the ground. Going back in a bit.
And there are, and we, like, growing up in Australia and growing up with swimming lessons, we learn all those kind of safety things, and they're kind of like, even though we didn't get very, like me and Helen didn't get very far in swimming lessons, you know all of those things, and you kind of know what you're capable of. And as soon as you start to feel uncomfortable, it's like, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the first stage of like swimming lessons, is learning when you've hit a level that you can't handle. And if you go slightly beyond it, how to sort of be rescued.
yeah. You know, all those like safety things. Yeah. And the other thing, like, I remember once one of our aunties was at the beach. She was telling this story. She was hanging at the beach, and it was a quiet beach. It was in the metro area, but it was quiet. And there weren't any surf lifesavers out. And there was this guy, and she could see him out there, and she's like, oh, he's in trouble. I think he was kind of flailing about. And his family were on the beach, but they were tourists. From a country, I think their English was a second language.
Yeah, so possibly landlocked, or possibly never encountered.
Yeah, or just like, not
ocean before.
Not the same kind of culture that we've got. And yeah. So she went out, and like, because she's the kind of money, I think she's up there. She's like a surfy person. Mm-hmm. So she went out and she got this guy back in. And he did all the wrong things, and she's being really careful not to get dragged under and stuff, and like gets him up, and like I think she even had to do like some first aid on him, get recovery kind of stuff, kind of stuff, and actually like go in for like chest compressions and things, like really. But she revived him, and he was like, okay, we're all good, and
That's like, go to the hospital, mate.
Yeah, and my auntie was like, you can get secondary drowning. So once you've, even though you're fine, you've been revived and you're breathing, and you're like, and then you're like obviously uncomfortable. You're not like completely 100%, but, and you kind of think, okay, the danger's over. There's water still in your lungs often, and that can like drown you later.
Yeah, like so once you settle down, like you sit in, like you stop moving, the adrenaline's not like, pushing your lungs past what they normally do. The water sits there, and then like you've just sat down and you're feeling a bit sleepy. So like you just rest and bam, you're drowning. Like
It's like you just tilt your position and the water.
You don't want seed water in your lungs. There's all sorts of grot in there.
Yeah.
Like anyway, like all kinds of worst case you get a chest infection. best case you get a chest infection. Yeah. Worst case you die. So that's always something that we're all aware of as well. It's like if you need to be pulled from the water and like you've like swallowed water and stuff, it's like you need to get checked out by a doctor.
Yeah.
Even though if you feel okay, it's like one of those things. Yeah, surf life saving. But it is funny how, like, I just, like you said, Caitlin, earlier, like, I thought everyone, the whole world did swimming lessons as kids.
Because by default, we learn very early, because our culture is you go down the beach when it's hot, and every other person has a pool, so you're going to swim around. So
we spent a lot of time in pools as kids.
Yeah, going to the neighbors.
They're exposed to water a lot. So, like, as early as possible, you go, like, you have to teach the kids, like, how not to drown. And
and there's so many pool safety campaigns funded by the government on TV.
Learn how to swim.
Legally here, you can't have
a swim.
We're stateless.
We're safety and education. Fitness and recreation. Learn how to swim. We're stateless.
That's such an annoying jingle.
I wonder if that's still their jingle. That's amazing.
I don't even know if I've ever seen that ad in a long time.
Oh, I'm going to look it up. State swim jingle. But the point of the story is we have to learn about it so early that it's just part of our awareness before, like, we're even in school sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm. And same with, like, sun safety. They kind of go together, the whole
slip, slop, slap.
That was part one of our discussion about beach culture in Australia. Part two will be available next week. You can find us on Blue Sky, Instagram, Twitter and Threads, or join our Discord server to have a chat with us, or you could email us. All the links are in the show notes to this episode. We'd also really appreciate it if you could leave a rating or review. That just helps get the word out about us. And thanks for listening. Now go and enjoy something you think is neat.